Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 18, 2014. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886 because we are here for you. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Of course, you're supposed to put that www thing in front of it, but if you just go prophecyhour.com, you're going to find our website. Anyway, our program archives can also be found over there at prophecyhour.com. And if you, once you get there, if you go on the right hand side of the page and scroll down, there's a box that says End Time Radio Archives. That'll take you to Podomatic, branch.podomatic.com. This has a Google app, or it has an Apple app and a Google app. So you can go over there and download those to your smartphone, because I hear that large, what I think it's 50% of the people that listen to talk radio now are listening on their smartphone. So go over there and download the app and listen to the programs, and also prophecyhour.com. We try to keep you apprised of the latest news in the world, and there is sure a lot going on with the Russian ruble has dropped through the floor. They're expecting a run on the banks over there. And many, many other things. It looks like currency across the world is going through a tumble due to oil prices or something else. Anyway, we're going to have a prayer, and then we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. So please, Father, give us all ears in which to hear the truth, and please give us what we need for this program. Amen and amen. Well, you know, folks, we have so many guests on talking about the trouble in the USA and what trouble the world is in. And we should be, because we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. But many wonder what to do. You know, is there places of safety that they prescribe, that the Father said has set aside and says, well, you would be safe if you go here? Of course you won't be safe anywhere unless that you have a personal relationship with our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. That would be, and that's Jesus Christ. So tonight, I once again invited back Kenneth Upgrove of Archive of Ministries. Kenneth was, as I said before, led to a land that Corey Ten Boom saw a vision of angels protecting the land. He says he thinks it's a place of refuge for the future, and I tend to agree with him. He will also talk some about his book called Cessationism, Does God Speak to Us Today? We're going to ask him about that book. And, well, let's just bring him on and see what Kenneth is doing. What are you there with me, Kenneth?
I sure am. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, I'm glad to have you back on. We had we were on a couple of radio programs. We had a good conversation, and we had people respond to it. I understand you had some responses.
Yes, I did.
Well, amen. That's great. I know there's a lot of people out there looking, you know, because, Kenneth, you agree or disagree that, you know, this tribulation is just coming like full blast, it seems.
Yes, more and more people are beginning to wake up to that, and I'm addressing it more directly. It's so controversial that it's hard to even know how to even get into it without getting somebody offended and on the defensive and won't even listen any longer. But more and more people are paying attention to this. They all believe we're in the end times. They all believe that in the end times will be first what's called the 70 years of Daniel. Others call it the 7-year tribulation. But it's a reality. If we believe that Israel became a nation and the time thereafter would be one generation, according to Bible prophecy, what is a generation? Most scholars say 70 years. Well, when is that? Well, that's 2018. So we see these the math coming up. We still can't say it's going to be 2018 that we'll go into this 70 years of Daniel, but we can say it is imminent. We are close. We ought to be paying attention. If the pre-trib rapture people are inaccurate or wrong, they will be left in a terrible and vulnerable situation. And my heart just grieves for them. I try to at least open the discussion of what if. Shouldn't we hope for the best and prepare for the worst? Shouldn't we consider what our best scholars are saying on this subject? And there is very, very good solid evidence that the post-trib or the pre-wrath scenarios are by far the more accurate of those being proposed to Christendom. And so at any rate, long story short, we ought to be preparing for what seems inevitable, what seems probable, rather than hoping on hope that the best
right.
scenario will run and have our cookies all in one jar, or the old thing goes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let me say this. Now, you know, I've been on radio for a long time, and I've talked to a lot of people, and of course, I, you know, have a church and everything, but, you know, and I study a lot, but one thing that I think that, you know, why I don't believe in pre-trib rapture, of course, but what I'm saying, though, is that I believe that even, you know, what we call it, post-tribulation rapture, you know, post-tribulationism, whatever, you know, Messiah comes when he comes after the tribulation. But my point is even those people that believe that, I think it's going to catch them unaware because they've been talking about it for so long, and while they may say, oh, yeah, we think it's coming or something, I really don't think in their heart of hearts, and what do you have to say about it? In their heart of hearts, are they really even ready? Do you think that it's going to catch them unaware? I do.
I think it's going to catch most of Christendom off aware, because even those who, quote-unquote, believe in the post-trib or the pre-wrath doctrines still aren't well-informed, couldn't defend their view if they were in a conversation with somebody who was knowledgeable on the subject. They wouldn't be able to defend it. In other words, they still would be caught off guard because they don't know, really don't understand the scenario or the possible or probable scenarios. I take that policy of let's know all of these arguments, all of these doctrines and eschatologies, but not depend on any of them. We had better be led of the Holy Spirit because we will be so locked into what somebody taught us rather than to what the Holy Spirit is leading us that we won't hear the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct in that. And you just set it up for me to ask you about your book. What is this book that does God speak to us today? Tell us a little bit about that. It talks about having spiritual gifts and being led by the Spirit, doesn't it? I haven't had a chance to read it, but go ahead.
Okay. The name of the book is Cessationism, Does God Speak to Us Today? The spiritual gifts did not leave the church. The church left the spiritual gifts. And if we remember in Mark, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." And so if we really believe that we have the Holy Spirit, because we were born again, we need to understand that there's also something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is something that isn't a one-time good deal. We need to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit regularly in order to really be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Something else to keep really straight in our minds is that we do not have the gifts. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit manifests himself through us. We don't have anything. He has it all. And if we are not in tune to the Holy Spirit, we can fool our own selves by acting out of the flesh, and that's where so many false prophets and prophecies and so on come from. The false comes from us assuming that we're speaking for the Holy Spirit and aren't. At any rate, it's a Kindle e-book, so you can go to Amazon and find their Kindle e-books and order the book from there. It's 85 or 6 pages, and it's $5.95. But when you go to Amazon, you know, Amazon.com, then go to the e-book section, the Kindle e-book section, and put in either my name, Kenneth Uptegrove, or just the word cessationism, C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N-I-S-M, and you will find it. I've already discovered that some people don't know what that word means. You can hear the word cease in it, and it's implying that the gifts of the Spirit all ceased in the five and the Ephesians 4:11 ministries, first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, then pastors and teachers, that they ceased. Interesting thing, they're all in one sentence, and yet some people would have part of them disappear and part of them stay. At any rate, trying to keep on the point, says, did these things cease when the last apostle died? There are those who say did without any scripture to prove it, and no scripture says that. And so then comes the study of this. Do we have very solid scriptural proof that these gifts are very much with us today? And if that be so, then where did this tradition come from that they ceased? How did that come into the Christian scene? And so the history of it all needs to be studied as well. And so I'm very, very thorough in anything I do of this sort. I'm very much research.
Right.
Goes a little beyond what most. I have the honor and privilege of being introduced to a scholar who spent over 30 years studying a Bible manuscript called the Washington Codex, or Washingtonus. It's got that name because it's housed at the Smithsonian Institute in one of those environments that protects ancient documents. But it, when you look at this document, you see that that it has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in it. And you will see that it's actually got lots of notes all the way through it, and that it's signed in the very handwriting of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, a lot of people will scoff at that right away, but a lot of scholars have studied these and said, well, yes, that is his signature. He signed it, and what's more, he's got the little dab of wax there with his ring and insignia in it, and a date on it, signifying, demonstrating, proving that, yes, they wrote this. And it is a first century manuscript, mostly in the handwriting of the scholars. Part of this, the text was redone by Barnabas.
Right.
And Barnabas also was an artist, and he drew a artistic impression of each of these authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The face of John is now gone, but the rest of them you can see. Just what I'm getting at here, Mark has this controversial ending that a lot of scholars refute, because in it, as Jesus said, these signs shall follow them to believe. Well, some people say, well, Jesus didn't say that. Some scribe wrote that in there. Well, here in this manuscript, the Washington Codex, you can see Mark's signature after the first and second ending. And what's more, in this one, there's a third ending with his signature on all three of them. And so it becomes extremely clear that Jesus said this, and Mark wrote what Jesus said. We're going to refute that.
Well, absolutely, we're going to keep that. Folks, what we're talking about really here is what we call it. It's actually the fivefold ministry, which is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And I'm not saying that in any particular order, although most claim that the apostles would be at the top. I'm not going to argue or disargue that. But the Father didn't leave us disarmed when he took his son back. And when the Holy Spirit came, these gifts came and are predominant today and should be in your church, should they not, Kenneth?
That's right. No matter the denomination, you can be a Baptist, you can be a Presbyterian, whatever, and still call yourself by that name by receiving the Holy Spirit, which was what kicked off the church, the day of Pentecost, what started the church. That was the church beginning that day. It was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So whether you're Presbyterian, Baptist, or Pentecostal, makes no difference. You can stay in your denomination and be a part of that doctrine, but you need to have the rest of the doctrine that Jesus taught and that the apostles carried forth. It's just that simple. We have the same church, we have the same baptism of the Holy Spirit, the same Bible as we had then. Nothing changed, nothing.
Well, amen. I agree with that, but I want to also say is, you know, I'm Messianic in faith, and I study my Torah a lot, and these same gifts, these same people are throughout the Torah. You can see them in different places in the Torah. You can see the spiritual gifts. In fact, you can see where it talks about the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Spirit coming and being with people who just had not yet came in the mannerism that it did, at Pentecost, which was was an annual celebration anyway. But when it came at Pentecost, it came abundantly into all that believe. You believe that, right? Now, everybody that's saved has the Holy Spirit, or are they not saved?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they are saved, I'd put it in the other order. If they are saved, they have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
But there still could question whether they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If the gifts of the Spirit aren't operating in their lives, we would have to question that, at least raise the question.
Absolutely. Some people, though, I do believe this, and I know this to be a fact, that realistically, the best thing that could happen in a best case scenario, when you become saved, somebody that is a gifted or, should have hands laid on you, and pray on you and help bring those gifts out in an amazing way. I know, I had been saved for a while and I really didn't know. I kept experiencing different things and didn't know quite how to explain them and everything. And then finally I went to a conference where I was anointed with oil. They dumped it. Felt like it was a gallon of oil, but it was, a bottle. Yeah, and he still laughs at me today, just like you do when I bring it up. But anyway, he dumped oil on me and him and these two pastors, or actually apostles, laid hands on me and prayed on me. And I'm telling you, after that, everything changed. I started hearing from the Father more clearly. I saw things that I was seeing before, but I saw them more clearly, more defined, and everything came into focus, so to speak. But I know I had the Holy Spirit beforehand, but, it was different after I was anointed. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I sure did, because I sure, I mean, it revolutionized my life. I was a born-again believer, very sincere about my faith, but when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was suddenly on fire for the Lord and have been ever since. That was in January in 1965, and so what is this, 49 years later? Very, very much on fire for the Lord all this time. That nothing quenched, nothing changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I came out of the world over 25 years ago, and I got saved. I mean, I had what I call my Damascus experience by look when I was in the world outlaw biker, looking in the rear view of the mirror of the car and seeing my reflection. And, it wasn't, who and what I wanted to be. So I had my own experience right then. You know what I mean? I didn't have, wasn't anybody that led me to it. Well, I was led to it by the Lord. You know what I mean? I had an experience and I turned my foot to get out of the world. I came out and I know I was saved, but it was like probably 5 years later, before I got that anointing, and boy, it just brought everything into focus. And so, folks, if you haven't had that experience, I strongly suggest that you should do it. And that's, Kenneth, and, I call myself Messianic. It's real close, but not the same as Hebrew Roots Movement. And I love the Hebrew Roots Movement, but the problem with the Hebrew Roots Movement, while it goes back to Torah, is that this part we're talking about, the spirituality, in a lot, not all by any means, but in a lot of them, this part is left out because they consider it too New Testament.
Now, what really gets me is that some Messianics like that group, they call themselves Messianic, but they never seem to get to the New Testament.
Yeah.
And they want to stay in the Torah, and they won't even go in the rest of the Old Testament.
Exactly.
I have that criticism. It's the whole Bible or nothing, honey.
Right, absolutely. It's those that have the faith of Yeshua and those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. That's twofold. You know what I mean? That's the Tanakh and the New Testament. But that's the problem. One, and that's even the problem I see with a lot of New Testament people. They just want to use the New Testament only, or the other people just want to use the Old Testament. It's both. We got to go to break. What's your website, real quick? And we'll come back and talk some more. We'll talk about the Lamb when we get back.
All right. What's your website? Arkhaven.org. ARKHAVEN. Arkhaven.org.
And folks, don't forget to check out his book, Does God Speak to Us Today? And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Few things.
things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, ABR makes four tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189, and our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes, and the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. During this season, don't forget to go over to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and check out some of the other programming over there, because they have some good programs over there, and they have archives of all the radio programs that goes 2 weeks at a time, and then it changes. So go over there, and you can listen at your leisure to that. But anyway, but remember, this is the time I ask you to pray about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And it support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Now, you know, while some of you are out there celebrating Christmas, amen, you're celebrating Christ's birthday. That's what you say that you're doing. I celebrate Hanukkah, and, you know, I believe that Mary was impregnated during Hanukkah, because you can actually look it up in the Bible and see by see that time. But it doesn't matter. The point is we are celebrating Christ, and we need to come together under that. And we need to do that, and because of the people, if nothing else. You need to be blessing people during this period of time. You know, Yeshua said that when you call a feast, that you should be calling the poor, the blind, and so on. Those people are the ones that you call to the feast. So at this time of year, don't exclude the poor from the things that you do. I know that you all want to have get-togethers with family, and that's wonderful, man. Being with family, that's great, absolutely. But there's a lot of people out there that don't have family, you know, so pray about helping them. You know, even if it's seeing somebody on the street, and maybe take them to dinner or take them to McDonald's, you know, and you get off the dollar menu, you can feed them for under $5. That'd be a good thing. Or give them that $5 bill. You know, it doesn't matter what they use it for. Just bless them with it. Or, you know, maybe a pair of shoes or something. But pray about that. But you really need, during these times, no matter what season, no matter what you celebrate, you need to always remember the poor. In fact, that's one thing through the Torah that we get, you know, as we study our feasts and different things. We know that there's always that for the poor, that it's always an offering for the poor. And so that needs to be done. Now, I always tell people that you should first do it in your, it should start within your own family, your own household, and extend out from there. And of course, you know, then people that live in your area or whatever, if you can find a good organization or something to do it, well then, amen. But I also want you to consider us because, for whatever reason, we usually don't get help from Wichita. There are a few people that are listening to radio now over there in Wichita, and we get like $20 or $30 here and there from them, and it's a real blessing. It's a help. But the major money that we get does not ever come from Wichita. And so we need your help. We don't, the poor can't pay us to do what we do for them. And we don't sell anything like books or anything like that. And so we're relying on your kindness and for the Father to tell you to, if you pray, you know, to tell you to donate to our ministry. Really do you need your help? Because right now donations are down because, it's this time of year. The economy's bad right now. And so people are buying presents and other things, and which I don't have a problem with. Buy all of them that you want. But again, I'm asking for a portion for the poor. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We've been doing this 15 years. And, you know, tomorrow, I was just like I was telling our producer, I prayed hard yesterday because the people didn't have coats and things, and I needed the Father to bless the people. And as soon as I got done praying, within a couple of minutes, I got a call from a Catholic church that found us online that's donating over 70 coats and other things that go along with it. In fact, I was just informed that they delivered it to the mission church. And we have these long tables, and there's like four long tables, three with coats and all these things on them, 3 foot high. And so I think there's way more than 70, but we're going to bless all of them. Those coats are, believe it or not, we'll get rid of those coats. We should get rid of probably all of them tomorrow. So that's a blessing. But pray about it. We still need money to function for food and everything else, so pray about it. Well, why do people come to us for help anyway? Well, people come to us because love. Well, that's the first answer. Second, they're treated as family. Second, and beyond that, it's because we don't have any set guidelines like programs. The only programs I have are radio programs. People walk in and ask for something, and that's the rule. If we have a way to fill a need, we give it to them. If not, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers' keepers. All donations matter. No matter what size, it does help. And you know what? The Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're talking with the fellow that has Arkhaven Ministries, and his name is Kenneth Upgrove. Are you there with me, Ken?
Yes, I am. Yes,
well,
I am.
I'm sure glad to have you still there. And let's give them the name of that book and where they can find it, and let's start talking about your property, the property up there and everything.
Okay, the word is cessationism, and you hear the word season. It's C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N-I-S-M. That word defined means those who... a doctrine that says that all the gifts ceased, that God no longer speaks to us, but only through the Bible, but not through the Holy Spirit, not personally. So cessationism, does God speak to us today? That's the title of the book.
Is there a link at your website to find it?
Yes, there is.
And your website is?
Arkhaven.org, ARKHAVEN.ORG. You can hear the reference to Noah's Ark there.
Amen. So, well, let's act. Okay.
Let's see. The way you would find that. boy, is when you go to archhaven.org, you will see a button that says Podcast and Kindle Book Archive. And the button's up there at the top, the Podcast and Kindle Book Archive. Go there to hear all the programs that I've been on. And this one will be up there as soon as you make it available to me. And then this Kindle book that's up now, and I will have a whole lot more up soon. I'm not really jumping into that venue.
Okay. Well, let's get on. Basically, I guess we start this like, you know, because we have new listeners all the time. What is Arkhaven, and why do you consider the Ozark Mountains, where you're at, safe?
The Arkhaven is in reference to Noah's Ark and Ark of the Covenant, God's place of promise, provision, and prophecy. It is, did I say it all right? I hope so.
Yeah, anyway, you said all that.
In case of Noah's Ark, the day that God told Noah and his crew of seven to go aboard and lock the door, and he sealed it, that very day he brought destruction. So God had him build the ship, and then God sealed him in it, and that very day he brought his wrath. So this is a pattern we see throughout the Bible in other instances. The day that Lot left Sodom was the day that destruction came upon it, but God took him out. He sent angels to take him out. So that is a pattern. There's others as well that have not come to mind right at the moment. But the important thing is, in 1974, the Lord told me that a depression was coming. And the picture I got was it was a whole lot bigger than a depression, but that's all I could comprehend at that time. At least word-wise, understanding-wise, it was a whole lot bigger than that.
Right.
And so at that point, I immediately went into natural and organic gardening because I was clear that to prepare his people for this time, we were going to have to be able to feed ourselves, and that we would lose all of the normal things that we think of as necessary to sustain ourselves, like gasoline to run an engine, chemicals to, herbicides, insecticides, fertilizers, and so on. All these things would no longer be available, so we better learn how gardening and how farming was done for 6,000 years before we came on the scene. That was how that all began. In about 83 or 4, the Holy Spirit told me to move to Northwest Arkansas, that this is where my end-time ministry would really take place. And so I made some expeditions into the area just to see what was here, because I knew nobody here, had no reason in the world to move here. And once I had all kinds of confirmations, on the website you can read all about him actually sending me here. And one of my pages called Arkhaven's History, Our Testimony and Origins. On that page, you will see the full story of how God got us here and the whole history behind all that.
Right.
When I came into this area for the very first time, the Holy Spirit came upon me very, very heavy. And among other things, he told me that it was a green island of survival. Good 10 years later, another man who God moved here from Colorado said that the Holy Spirit had told him the exact quote, "This is a green island of survival." And to me, that could imply that it would be surrounded by water someday. And geologists say at one time it was. That aside, it certainly means that it will be an isolated area, a particularly designated area that will stand out like an island.
Let me bring something up here. Not to interrupt you. We were talking, I don't know what course, but you were telling me that there, right now in that neighborhood, there's a lot of people practicing different religions there and getting along and whatever. So what kind of area is that? How are the people there? You know, are they friendly? Or is there a lot of religious groups there? What about the area? What's it like?
First off, the Ozarks are primarily in Missouri and a little bit in Arkansas and a dab in Oklahoma. It is it's called the oldest mountain range on the North American continent. So our altitude ranges about from 1,000 to 2,000 feet. Some spots a little lower, some spots a little higher, but that's the average. So this is very old mountains there. I don't even make a noticeable bump on a Rocky Mountain. But it is an aquifer, that's called, that's over 100 miles across and over 100 miles deep. And it's basically limestone and has a huge amount of water. So because of its location, it is far enough away from all the borders to be far enough away that for those who are concerned about an invasion from any direction, we're a long ways in, and nobody anticipates anybody getting that far in an invasion.
Right.
Because of its nature, it's not subject to earthquakes. Because of its nature, it's not subject to tornadoes or floods. The Navy Department of War declares it to be the safest place on Earth. They were looking for a place to put a base. And so the only thing that's here is some government agencies do have deep underground caves here for protection, a place to duck to. That's, there's a lot of different scenarios on why governments of the world are finding places to have deep bunkers. And I won't go into that in this show, but there's a number of different scenarios, and they're all worth consideration. It's best to be informed so that you know what to look out for and be ready. But geographically, it's the safest place. And
safest place on the earth, they declared it, right? Safest place on the earth, right.
Physically speaking, amazing. It's the safest place. Physically speaking, yes.
A lot of people know Corey Ten Boom, and we brought it up on another program. By the way, folks, you can find the other two programs we talked about this on our archives. But in brief, Corey Ten Boom seen the place basically guarded by angels, did she not?
Yes. She was taking a tour of a place in Eureka Springs called the Passion Play. And the man who founded that and started an outdoor passion play was taking her a tour of the property when she was in a pasture where they kept mules and camels and so on, that she had this open vision, and in it she saw that area surrounded by angels, five bands, one above the other, and they had their swords drawn. And so she said, "My Lord, this is a divinely protected place."
Yeah, amen.
So
amen.
I was told this by a man who was a ghostwriter for one of her books and has had a publishing house. He's since deceased, I'm sorry. But I was told this directly. I've had all kinds of people refute it. But I was told that, and others have.
Right. Well,
told
you know, there's always the naysayers. You know what I mean. But but here we have to. Let me say something to the people. We have two witnesses here. For those of you that want the spiritual whatever, we have Corey Ten Boom saying it, and there's testimony of more than just the one person he's talking about, Corey saying it. But then we have those that want a secular thing, and you have the Department of the Navy declaring it the safest place in the world. You know, you need to go over to Arkhaven and look around and check this out, because I do believe that the Father has prepared places of safety in the United States for these things that are coming. Now, Kenneth, we need to ask two questions. Is one, so what, I mean, is there land there for sale cheap or whatever? And then I also understand that you have a plan. Go into that.
Okay. I have been asked by three different landowners to advertise their property on my website. And interestingly, more people come to my website to look at this land for sale than they look at my articles. Kind of hurt. But all of this property that I'm advertising is ideal for prepping, ideal for homesteading, ideal for Christian community.
Okay,
and,
so
that's the only kind of land that I advertise. I won't advertise any other.
Okay, I'm going to butt in here again. And I want the folks to know this. You know, folks, I have been praying about a place of safety for a very long time, and you know, while I do know that the Father led me to where I'm at, I do know also that I feel in my heart of hearts that that there is supposed to be a secondary place of refuge to go to, and we have it in prayer because we want to. I don't know how much, but we want to obtain some property down here because everything that I've prayed about it and looked about it, I believe that it is one of the safe places. And so, you know, I am even convinced of it enough that if I had the money to do so, I would tomorrow go down there and buy some property. We really have it up for prayer, and we're waiting an answer on a few things. So I'm not trying to tell you to move off to the Ozark Mountains. Maybe it might be a secondary place, but you really need to look. But Kenneth, let's go back to you, and you got some more time to explain to him what you want about it. What are you trying to do up there? That's the point, I guess. What's your ministry trying to do? What is it you want?
First off, I just have the calling to prepare God's people, to warn them, to encourage them to do this, to be getting prepared. I always say that the safest place on earth is the center. The safest place on earth is the center of God's will for you. And so I know that not everybody can come to the Ozarks. A lot of people are stuck in the slums of huge cities, which seems like the worst place in the world. So, but if that is where God's got you, stay there, be at peace. Do not be frightened, and just simply be led of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people who are being sent here, though, and they're coming here all the time. Just recently, two people moved here, one from Virginia and one from Oregon, and one of them has got enough money to actually be able to buy land. The other one's waiting for people like me, waiting for the Lord to provide the wherewithal to do it. Whether I get on the land or not, my calling is to warn others, to encourage others, to inform others. And when they come here to visit me and look at the Ozarks, I become their native guide, and I take them through the territory and introduce them to a lot of people, and really give them a feel of what is here. The Ozark people are just very friendly people, and crime is very low, and the average price of land is $2,000 an acre. I warn that the closer you are to the town, the higher the prices will be, the further away it is, the less. And if the land has gorges and cliffs, it will cost less. And sometimes there are uses even for that kind of terrain, but just keep in mind that the price will be a little less for that kind of property. It can be as low as $1,000 an acre. That's a general overview. We have five lakes. They're all a continuous string of lakes, all fed by the White River. So here in Arkansas, we have one of those five lakes. It's called Beaver Lake, and It's famous for trout. What do you call it? Tournament.
I like trout.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, you just made me hungry, brother. I want to come and get some trout.
Yeah, I'll come and catch some trout. I'll go out with you and talk to you while you're fishing.
Okay, well that sounds like a real good deal, you know.
You can rent boats. There's a boat docks here with different kind of boats you can rent. I usually get the big one on floats. Those are
pontoon boat.
Go out with a pontoon. Thank you. We can go out with the family and barbecue and swat mosquitoes.
barbecue and swat mosquitoes.
And I have to bring up mosquitoes.
Yeah, well, I imagine there are like dive bombers out there. But, you know, it goes with anything else. You eat certain things, you can keep them off of you. And if not, you know, there is a such thing called mosquito spray, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you got about, let's see, where are we at for time? Let me look here. We got a couple minutes left. You got about 3 minutes left, so what else you want to say to the people?
Let's see.
Well, I didn't mean to make you speechless. Let's go like this. How do they contact you? They say they want to come and look around and everything. How do they contact you?
Well, is it safe to give my phone number over the air? I imagine it is, isn't it?
Well, it's as safe as you want it to be. I mean, I think it is. You know, you have an email thing at your website.
Here's the way to do it. Go to my website and go to my website and you will see contact us. Up at the top of the page, the button's there. One of them says contact us and one of them is email. So go to the contact us page, click on the email page, and you can email me from my website. That is by far the safest way that way. I won't get inundated with unnecessary calls.
I hate those unnecessary calls. Somehow my cell phone has gotten on some kind of weird list lately. But anyway, brother, I appreciate you being on, and I'm going to want to talk to you again because there's some questions that I have that I haven't even asked yet. And so periodically, folks, we're going to have Kenneth back on as long as he's willing and talk about things. But, Ken, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. We come to the end of the program.
Well, thank you so much, brother. I just so appreciate you and your ministry. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, you be blessed, brother, and may the Father bless and keep you and further your work in Yeshua's name. Amen. We'll see you later, brother. Goodbye and shalom. Well, folks, go to the radio archives and listen to other programs I've done with him. This is the third time I had him on, and the reason being is because after the last program, some people went out there, and apparently now one of them bought property, the other one is waiting to do so. Point is, I believe that the place may not be your place of safety, but for some of you out there that I know have been looking for years, this may be your place. Really pray about supporting the Mission Church. We need your help, and if you're listening tonight, if you can do it by PayPal, we can really use your help tonight. There's a lot of people out there cold and everything. We need to keep open. We need to keep them fed, and we need your help. We really do. Any size of donation will help. $5, $10, $20 will help, but some people, I mean, if you can afford it, you know, a larger donation, pray about it. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. You must remember there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And you know what? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is your father. Treat him as such. Anyway, remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, Lord our God, Father King of the Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.